Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of...
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. And you're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got Bruce Bartlett back on the show. Bruce is a new friend that we're hanging on to because he's got a lot he can teach us. Bruce is an economic historian. He spent the last 30 years of his life in public policy and politics, and he was actually part of the Reagan administration and a Treasury official under George H.W. Bush, Bush 41. He's the author of a number of books, but his new one is called The American Economy of Reaganomics and a New Way Forward. Very controversial topics here that we're talking to Bruce about, and we got a couple of other things that we're talking about. Bruce Bartlett, welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here.
It's good to have you back. Bruce, as you know, this is the week that we celebrate Thanksgiving and the thing in America, and the thing that gave rise to Thanksgiving was a little event that happened in the fall and in the early winter of 1620, and that's when the Mayflower landed in what's now called Massachusetts, with 102 or so people called pilgrims. In those days, there were two or three different groups, but that was kind of the early Europeanization of what we now call America, wasn't it?
Well, I was thinking as you were speaking, yeah, one could describe those pilgrims as Europeans.
They were.
That's
they
right.
were because they were.
You know, a great deal of our culture, our society, and our government derived from, people who came from England and the Netherlands and Germany and France, et cetera. They were the original Europeans.
And they brought with them some of those values, but also... They made that 66-day trip, which is how long it took the Mayflower to get here. They made that 66-day trip, 102 people on about a 70-foot boat with about a 10 or 12-foot beam. Most of them couldn't go down and below. Some of them had to stay on top. I mean, that's a long way. They made that trip because they were not happy with something. They were not happy with the status quo, and so they wanted something new. They wanted to find something where they could do, it could be. And so they rejected what was going on in Europe, and they came to the New World and literally cast themselves on a shore that was foreign and menacing. And while they were there, on the way to there, they created this document called the Mayflower Compact, didn't they, Bruce?
Yes.
And isn't that one of the great articles of the origins of America?
Yes, I'm afraid it's been a long time since I've read it, but maybe this is an occasion, this time of year when we ought to pull it out and take a look at it again.
Well, here's the interesting thing about that compact. See, there were 40-something laden separatists. These were English. They got their name from having gone to Holland for a while and come back to England. But they were laden separatists who were kind of smug and sanctimonious and self-righteous. Then there were the other people who were more adventurers and entrepreneurs. So these people didn't really get along all that well. They called each other names, and they made one landfall and realized that they'd better work together. They weren't going to make it. And they literally got back on the ship and wrote up this compact. And isn't that kind of the kind of thing that we ought to be thinking about here in America? Shouldn't we realize that with all of our differences, we better start working together? We're not going to make it.
Well, I think that's especially true in Congress, where the idea of compromise just seems to be a dirty word. And I was always taught that politics was the art of compromise.
Yeah.
But these days, everybody is so determined to have their particular point of view,
control,
and not even listen to anybody else's, and they feel that if they make any compromise, no matter how small, that they have betrayed their philosophy or their party or whatever, and so we have this gridlock situation.
Yep.
That I think is really making things worse.
Well, gridlock. It's worse than gridlock in a way, Bruce, because it depends if the pendulum swings where one party or the other, and folks, my audience knows, Bruce, I'm an equal opportunity disser. You know, I'll smoke the Republicans as fast as I'll smoke the Democrats. I really am disappointed in the whole political class. But the thing is that when one party or the other is in power, you know, that's when it gets out of hand even worse.
Well, that's right. And what bothers me is that we're ending up with worse legislation than
right.
we would get if we would have compromise. Think about the health care
right.
debate right now. The Republicans have decided we're not going to even participate. We're not going to offer any of our own ideas. We're
right.
not going to offer our own legislation.
Have they been asked for their ideas? Hold on to that thought. I'm going to let you answer that right after these messages. One of the things we have to do, folks, our talk show is an imprecise activity in a precise environment. We've got to take a quick break. 20 till. Right back with Bruce Barton. His new book is called The New American Economy.
Turn around and see you in a crowded place. What's good the emotions on the guy?
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and we'll send it to you by email every Sunday afternoon. Just finished our 10th anniversary. Had our 10th anniversary of the newsletter just this last week, and so we're heading off into the 11th year of delivering that every Sunday afternoon. And, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Bruce Bartlett, folks, is our guest, Bartlett. Bruce Bartlett is the author of The New American Economy, The Failure of Reaganomics and a New Way Forward. And we're kind of talking a little bit about, we're working our way more towards the Europeanization of America. And, you know, Bruce, I do think it's appropriate. I think this topic of, you called it gridlock, but actually, you know, not to parse your words, but I like gridlock. I like it when we've got one house of Congress, you know, controlled, at least one of the houses, the Congress or the House, House of Representatives or the Senate or the White House, controlled by one of the other parties. I mean, I think that's actually when compromise happens these days, isn't it?
Well, I agree with you about that, but I guess gridlock maybe wasn't the right word. I'm not sure what the right word is. But what bothers me is that I think if Republicans had been willing to more fully participate in, say, the health reform debate, we would end up with something that was more moderate and more acceptable, whereas by saying we're just opposed to anything the Democrats
yeah.
do, we don't care, the Democrats are forced to appease their most liberal wing.
Right.
So you get things like the public option
right.
being the key
and abortion paid by and federal funds for abortion and things like that. Ridiculous.
Yes,
things
I just think the Republicans have adopted a wrong strategy because it looks very much like something is going to pass.
Yeah.
And
well,
it
do
seems
you think
to me that when you know that something is inevitable, you accommodate it rather than just walking away and saying I want nothing to do with it.
Well, both parties walk around, you know, with a chip on their shoulder. The Democrats haven't been very forthcoming. There's another side to this issue. The for years, because I've been covering the health care issue for over 10 years now, Bruce. I was covering it every year. I've been covering it every year, even when it wasn't on the table, because I knew we were going to come to this point in the history where we'd have to do something. And there were a lot of years when some really logical market-based solutions were being proposed, like the bill by Mike Inslee out of Montana, or Wyoming, I guess it is. You know, and those things were defeated by the Democrats. So the Republicans have got a little bit of chip on their shoulder too. But the main thing, Bruce, and I wonder about this, and this is a question I want to ask you. For a year or two now, I've been saying that I think the only thing that's going to solve the thing that you and I are now lamenting is a literal revolution. I don't mean a bloody revolution, but I mean a resetting of Congress, and I mean there may be some political bloodletting down the road. What do you think? Is that possible?
I think that's not likely. I think to get back to what you were talking about earlier, I think possibly the optimum solution would be if next year in the elections, the Republicans got control of the House.
Right.
The Democrats are going to keep the Senate, according to everybody I hear.
Yeah.
And, of course, they'll still have the White House. And once they have control of one House of Congress, then I think they can feel like we can negotiate from a position of strength,
right,
without worrying about being rolled. And I think
right.
that's what they're fearful of right now, is they're fearful that if they, you know, try to negotiate with the administration, they'll get the rug pulled out from under them, because, quite frankly, they did the same thing to the Democrats.
Right. Well, exactly. No, you're exactly right. But, you know, Bruce, the thing is, I am so disdainful of our political process right now. One of the reasons I like gridlock is sometimes it creates something, a scenario where nothing happens. Mm-hmm. And when I believe, as a small business owner, Bruce, where I don't need the government to help me, I just need them not to hurt me. I believe when politicians do things, they do things to hurt small business more than they do things to help them. I would rather they accomplish nothing. And that's a sad, cynical commentary from me, but I feel that way.
But the problem is that we've got some problems that will just get worse if we don't deal with them. And so doing nothing means things will get worse.
But see, you're presuming that politicians are the logical problem solver, and I don't accept that argument.
Well, what other choice do we have?
The marketplace.
Well, but I mean, we have to have, whether you like it or not, government is deeply involved in our economy.
Yep.
We've got serious economic problems that are putting enormous political pressure on the Congress to act.
Right.
And so your option is really not option.
But the option I have, that I'm proposing, has been exacerbated because the government, I mean, a lot of the problems we have, I think you'd admit, a lot of the problems we have has been because of policies by our government.
Yeah, but the problem is we can't go back in time.
Yeah, yeah.
See, and say, okay, it was a bad idea for us to repeal Glass-Steagall 10 years ago.
Right.
Let's go back and undo that. Because we would have a completely different financial sector
right.
today than the one we have. So, you know, the old analogy is, you know, you can't put the toothpaste back in the
right.
tube.
Right.
And you know, we just have to live in the real world and deal with the situations that confront us.
Now, one of the things, back to this Europeanization thing, when I look at healthcare, the way it's being proposed, I've said this many times, we don't have to wonder how this is going to turn out. Just look at Europe. Isn't that a fair argument?
Well, I'm not sure we're going to do as well as Europe. That's part of my concern.
Yeah.
Is that they have, I mean, it seems to me the most important issue in the whole healthcare debate is one that nobody is talking about, which is that we spend, as a share of our economy, twice as much as most other countries do.
Yeah.
And we've done nothing in this legislation.
But aren't we getting more for it than that, though, than they typically do, though?
Not nearly. We ain't getting twice as much.
Hold on to that thought, because when we come back, we're going to get a little deeper into Bruce's book. He's got some proposals on how to fund all of this that may surprise you. Tintail, stay with us. We're back at 7 till, Little Chicago, bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with us. Bruce Bartlett is our guest and one of the newest members of our Brain Trust. We're glad we found him. He's a great resource for us, and he'll be teaching us a lot over the years, hopefully, as we continue our friendship. The new book is called The New American Economy, The Failure of Reaganomics and a New Way Forward. Bruce, tell us how we can find this.
Well, it's available certainly at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and places like that, and it should be available at finer bookstores everywhere.
Yeah, so check it out, folks, in your local bookstores or wherever. I see it when I travel around, Bruce, in the airports. And he's as you know, folks, probably he's a New York Times bestseller, and also many of you see his column in Forbes magazine. Bruce, one of the things that's going to be part and parcel to this healthcare reform bill is our taxes. I mean, they're going to have to, some treatment of the tax structure will have to happen. You know, it could look a lot of different ways. But one of the things you proposed is a VAT tax, a value added tax, right?
Yeah, I think it would have been ideal to pay for this healthcare reform that we're talking about. I think it's really a bad idea to have a new government benefit that is not largely paid for by the beneficiaries.
So you know that, I mean, you obviously, we know this thing is not going to be revenue neutral, right?
Well, even if it is, it's still badly financed.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to soak the rich and do these other things,
yeah.
Cut Medicare. And I think it's you need to have things need to be symmetrical. That's why the Social Security system works so well, is you have a tax that people, everybody understands what that tax is paid for.
But Bruce, it's bankrupt. I mean, it's actuarially it's bankrupt.
Well, Social Security is not in really very bad shape at all. It's the Medicare system
that
we should be talking about, and I had hoped that we would be doing Medicare reform now at the same time we're doing this other debate about health care.
Right.
And I just think we've kind of gotten off the track and we're losing sight of the big picture.
I think you made a point, though, right then, Bruce, that's very important to this whole debate, not just the one you and I are having, but the larger one. And that is that I believe our political class, when they do this health care reform, I'm so cynical about this that I'm convinced that this is not about health care. This is not about insuring other people. This is not about solving problems. Bruce, I believe this is nothing but about control. Because if it were actually about solving problems, what you just said about Medicaid and Medicare would happen and be part of this. And it's not. It's only about gaining more control.
I don't think I agree with that. I mean, I can see why somebody from an outsider might think that, but I worked in Congress for a long time. I worked in government for a long time, and I know that that the policymakers tend to be myopic. You know, they fix their sight on one tree, and they lose track of the forest. And I think that's what's happened here.
Yeah. Well, I agree, and there. I mean, you're making my point in terms of politicians not being the one to solve the problems. But back to the value added. As I probably said to you the last time you were here, the problem I've got with value added is it would be on top of the existing tax structure that we have. And, you know, I wouldn't like it in any year, Bruce, but why? Who can even, I mean, what ballgame are people watching when they talk about adding taxes on this economy?
Well, first of all, we've got a huge spending problem that has to be paid for. So unless you think deficits of 10% of GDP year after year after year are tolerable,
they won't work.
Well, then we have to do something. I don't think spending is going to ever be cut enough to avoid the necessity of raising taxes.
And that's the essence of your
question of how.
Isn't that part of the foundation of your philosophy with your new book, is that you're convinced that we don't have the discipline in America to rein in spending?
Oh, that's right. I mean, the biggest problems we have, as we're talking about, is with the programs for the elderly, Social Security, Medicare, and the percentage of the population that is benefiting from those programs is growing as the baby boom generation gets into its 60s.
Yep. Yep.
And those people vote in the highest percentages of any age group. So I just don't see where the political support is ever going to come from to make the kinds of changes in these programs that would make them sustainable without higher revenues.
So basically, we're back to POGO, right? You know, we've
seen the enemy,
We've seen the enemy, and he is us.
Uh-huh.
That's basically what you're saying, and I think I agree with you. Bruce, you got a website?
Well, I blog at something called capitalgainsandgames.com, and, and of course, I write for Forbes.
All right, you do, and the book is available wherever books are sold. The New American Economy. Bruce, I've enjoyed our visit. Will you come back? Let's talk some more about this.
Sure.
Thanks,
anytime.
Bruce. Have a good holiday.
Okay, thank you.
Bruce Bartlett, ladies and gentlemen, great voice, great American voice. I'm glad to have him as part of our Brain Trust. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be back tomorrow, live and in person on Thanksgiving. Happy holidays. Be safe.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.